Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. He writes, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining on to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is our text. You may be seated. After almost 75 years since its first introduction, this particular sign or slogan has come back into vogue in recent years. Keep calm and carry on. Sounds simple enough. If the sign is still new to someone, you may wonder about the crown at the top. More on that in just a second. But the advice or encouragement is very straightforward, easily applicable to a great many situations in life. But in this era of the internet meme, where images and slogans are adapted and shared on social media, this simple message of steady persistence has been adapted any number of different ways. There are a variety of adaptations out there. We want to look at just a couple of them. So for starters, how about this one? Keep calm and bake on. Apparently there isn't anything a good cupcake can't cure. This one is brought to you by librarians everywhere. Keep calm and read on. This one is just plain good advice. Keep calm and love your mom. The next two come as something of a pair. The first is this one, keep calm and crossword on. For those of you who still prefer the pencil and paper distraction from whatever else is in the news, but for our millennial generation, the distractions are more electronic, so it's keep calm and game on. And I suspect a few of you, well, particularly one of you, is probably wondering if this one was going to make it into the mix. Keep calm and grill on. And here in our school, as in any school, there are some days, some weeks, when it's simply keep calm and teach on. And finally, one more that we could all affirm and do well to adopt in our own lives, of course, keep calm and pray on. From this simple slogan of so many years ago come these adaptations and an endless list of others, some clever and creative, some cute, some out there are sadly vulgar, some are just good common sense, all of them simple enough. The truth of the matter is, though, that this slogan was never intended to be lighthearted or amusing. It wasn't even intended to be clever. It was intended to be a sober appeal. It was produced in 1939 by the British government, hence the crown on the top, designed to be a genuine encouragement in the face of what Hitler and the Third Reich called a blitzkrieg, a lightning attack. It was a call to endurance during the air raids over London and other British cities. And these airborne attacks were relentless, and the devastation was extraordinary. Over one 57-day period in London, there were 56 days of air raids and bombings. The efforts to respond again and again and again must have grown to seem increasingly futile, and the sense of despair and loss increasingly overwhelming. And into all of that chaos was introduced those words of encouragement to keep calm and carry on. But what is that based on? How does one calmly go on in the face of such difficult, even dire circumstances? The sentiment seems to call to mind some sort of reservoir of internal strength and fortitude. And to a point, that's okay. In fact, it's quite necessary. But that sentiment, however well intended, is asking the receiver of that message to focus entirely on themselves, to look within for strength, to rely on oneself in difficult and dire times. And that is indeed our human tendency, to look within, to determine what we believe we can control and, as they say, to take matters into our own hands. In fact, we cling to whatever it is we think we can control. Consider the tenants in Jesus' parable. Perhaps they saw that share of the crop due to the owner as exploitative. Perhaps they simply wanted to keep a bigger share for themselves out of greed. Either way, they relied on what they perceived to be their own strength, their own resourcefulness, clinging to whatever they could gain by force. And in the end, that only led to their own self-inflicted ruin. Consider St. Paul. He chose for a time to be entirely reliant upon his pedigree, his resume, for his stature and his standing before God. He was born into the right family. He studied under the right teachers. He accumulated a track record of excellence with respect to the law. He even fostered a movement of violence because it supported the cause to which he was so very committed. He quite boldly confesses what his former way of life inspired in himself. He wrote, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." This is a man who in his early adult years could readily embrace the notion to keep calm and carry on because he felt perfectly content to rely upon himself. His own righteousness, his own resume, his own strength to get through any of life's difficulty and still stand proudly before God. Well, we know what happened to St. Paul. The Lord literally jolted him from his perch of self-confidence and showed him how reliant he would become on the living God. And enlightened with this new perspective, Paul changes his understanding of life entirely, completely sheds his self-reliance and writes instead, "I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Paul has clearly abandoned self-reliance and turned instead toward soul reliance on Christ. He now looks upward instead of inward. With no illusions that he's already arrived, instead he acknowledges, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul's focus is now firmly on Christ instead of himself. And he's no longer content to merely carry on in this life as if to say just getting by day to day or relying upon oneself. He will press on toward a life in Christ for this life and toward that which is beyond. Indeed, Paul's transformation invites us, I believe, to transform this simple little slogan into one that focuses us where we need to be. And so I submit to you, as God's people, and with Paul's writings in view, that we could adapt that phrase to this: keep in Christ and press on. And this variation, like the 1939 original, is not meant to be amusing or cute or even clever. This is simply Paul's encouragement for the Christian life. Keep in Christ. Again, in the spirit of the original slogan, these first words, keep in Christ, should be our constant encouragement, whatever the circumstance. We look not to ourselves as the ultimate resource to face our trials and burdens. We look to our Lord and Savior. Calm is just an emotion. Emotions waver and change. They're fragile and fickle. Christ, on the other hand, is our cornerstone. Christ does not change. He is the very source of strength and faithfulness. It is upon Him that we build our lives. And in Christ, we do not simply carry on. This is not just a matter of surviving from day to day. No, we press on toward an ultimate goal, toward that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, toward an ever-deepening relationship with our Lord in this life. And Paul sees that for himself and for us, this higher life, one in which the burdens of yesterday, however deep and scarring they may be, are left behind as we press on toward further reliance upon our Lord Jesus. Now, forgetting what lies behind does not mean that we have no memory of it, for surely we do. Instead, it means that we are not chained to it or paralyzed by it. Our symbol still has a crown, the crown of our King, but it is a crown now over the very prominent cross of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. And that very image is embedded in one of our stained glass windows in the back, the cross and crown. It also might be something that is embedded in our hearts, along with that statement of hope to keep in Christ and press on. Our country grieves again this week from a horrible attack. And while the devastation did not rain down for days and weeks as it did in England all those years ago, I dare say that the horror and chaos of last Sunday night was every bit as terrifying in Las Vegas as it was in World War II London. The ability of responders to cope with so many victims must have at times seemed almost futile. And the sense of loss and despair in these intervening days has seemed rather overwhelming. Over our national tragedy that we share, let us offer these words: keep in Christ and press on. Not as a slogan or a band-aid or an easy remedy, for there are no earthly answers or easy cure for such extraordinary heartache and loss. No, we offer these words as words of hope. In the face of inexplicable heartache and evil, we look to the cross and crown of our victorious Savior. No strength, no resource of our own will suffice. There is only Christ. Christ who knows our sorrows and our suffering, who endured himself on our behalf even more than we could ever imagine. Christ who was murdered for our rescue. Christ who has ultimately defeated the very evil and death that still plagues the world in which we live. Only Christ is enough when the world comes apart again, as it has this week. In him, we press on. We do more than just survive. We serve. We look for those ways in which we can bring Christ to others, to serve our neighbors out of love. The stories of neighbor serving neighbor that horrible night are numerous. Those who sacrificed safety, sacrificed survival for the sake of others. We press on in Christ to offer a hope the world cannot offer. Three of our Trinity family now live in Las Vegas: Becky and Jacob Schumacher and Rosie Allman, and they're okay. They offer the hope of Christ, serving at Faith Lutheran High School in Las Vegas, a community that has two victims of its own. Twin sisters, Natalia and Gianna Baca, both recovering. We press on in Christ, grieving over our broken world, but not in despair. Whatever the burden you bear, whatever trial, whatever heartache, we offer these words: keep in Christ and press on. For he is your Savior and King, your cornerstone, your Lord. Amen.